The following program deals with military and veteran issues. All comments and opinions expressed on this show are of those who made them. They do not reflect the opinions of the Church of Satan or Radio Free Satan. So on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the official Infernal Legion podcast. This is the Sinister Scuttlebutt episode for the month of October 2020. And October 2020 is a pretty awesome month when you think about it, especially from a satanic point of view. We are bracketed by full moons on both the 1st and on the 31st, which, of course, is Halloween. We've got the unfortunate death of the doctor himself, Anton Zander LaVey, on October 27th. Personally, both my daughter and my little brother's birthdays are in the middle of this month. So it's a big month, and I hope everyone out there is celebrating with all of the magic they can muster in such a strange year. But without any further ado, I am Warlock Jeff Bowling, the commander of the Infernal Legion, and with me, hiding in the rafters as he usually does, is our lovable teddy bear producer, Warlock Jeff Ivins, the CSO of the Infernal Legion. Jeff, how the hell are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Just sitting there gearing up for another drill with the Sea Cadets, and that's basically about it. The American Legion, I'm a member of, just donated $2,900 to the police department.
Wow.
So, yeah, they had what they call Vet Fest, and all the money raised goes to the police department. So they just retired two dogs, and the money that they raised, they're going to get two more dogs.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
To give a special props to Jeff as well for turning down a chance to go to the bar. To be with us to record.
Yes. I got offered to go to a bar tonight, and I'm like, nah, I got podcasts I got to produce.
you only drink once a year, and that's during Biketoberfest, which would normally be going on right now.
Well, no. It's Leesburg Bike Fest is what I'd be drinking at.
Well, don't worry. Biketoberfest is going on right now, too. People said they don't give a fuck. It's going on whether it's sponsored or not.
Yeah. I've noticed that most of the biker events don't really seem to care about the pandemic.
No, they don't.
But that shouldn't be surprising from a group of people who, no offense, because I love drinking with my bikers, but who habitually do meth and beat each other up. I'm not really sure they'd be worried about any illness.
Yeah. But that's, other than that, that's all that's been going on with me.
Outstanding, man. And, of course, with us, as always, is my co-host of the show, the VSO of the Infernal Legion, Warlock Dwayne Burns. And over the last, several months, we've been poking fun at Dwayne, having a good time like old vets do, talking about his tragic masturbation accidents and whatnot. However, obviously anyone who knows us knows that we're joking. Dwayne, you've actually been going through some pretty heavy shit. And I guess you finally want to break the silence and tell everybody what's going on.
Break the silence. I don't know if it's silence, but I got a daughter right now that's in John Hopkins All's Children down here in St. Petersburg. Probably 3 weeks ago, she just collapsed and started puking everywhere, and we just didn't know what the hell was going on. We took her into the doctor, and they threw her in an ambulance and said none of you can go with her because of the fucking COVID, and shipped her about 20 miles north of me, like I said, to the children's hospital. Long story short, she's got a gallbladder that is full of stones. Thus far, they've had to put two stents in to open up the bile ducts. Since the stuff has happened, she has part of her pancreas that has necrotized. She's got, let me see, I'm trying to think of everything.
Take your time, man, some heavy shit.
Yeah, she's got two blood clots behind the pancreas, got two large cysts on the living part of the pancreas. They want to take the gallbladder out, but she's septic right now, which is causing all the problems with the pancreas. Of course, we know we can live without a gallbladder. We can't live without a pancreas. As I said, the shit's the gallbladder is causing the problems with the pancreas, and the pancreas is causing problems giving her sepsis. So they had to put in a PIC line the other day, which is just a big fancy word for a central line. So they don't have to keep changing IVs, and this damn thing goes all the way up her arm and to her heart, so they can pump antibiotics and foods and fluids directly into her heart, and her heart can distribute it throughout her body. Yeah, she's a pretty sick little girl, and I first told my brothers here about it probably 2 weeks ago, and I appreciate that a bunch of them have reached out and centered get well stuff, and those people know who they are, and I just want to thank them for that. She's pretty damn sick right now, and she's not in a state right now to be able to thank them personally.
Man,
and I know they understand that too. So,
and how old is she?
12 years old.
That's too fucking young to be going through all that.
Well, she just turned 12. Her birthday is a day after mine, a day after yours.
Yeah.
But yeah, she just turned 12. So yeah, it's too fucking young.
And
you know, like you said, all bullshit aside, the masturbation jokes, that has been why I've been late a few times, because I've been juggling shit. You know, so
yeah. Well,
anyhow, on with the news.
Yeah, I guess, man. That's some heavy stuff, and you know that all of us are here for you. We're family, after all.
That's why, you know, and I appreciate you giving me a little block to explain myself. Not that I really have to explain myself to anybody, but you know,
it's your choice.
This is why I've been late frequently and stuff, because I got shit going on here, and you know, a lot of that takes precedence.
Yeah, family always comes first. And speaking of family, try to shovel some good news in here. So I mentioned at the top of the show that my daughter's birthday is coming up next week, and she surprised us by coming up from college to join us this weekend. So she's hanging out with us this weekend. And she got right to work, came in, said hi to all the animals, held down the dog, and clipped his toenails.
I don't hear my girlfriend there, so they must be out doing a...
Yeah, they're out doing girl things.
Yeah, you know what happened. Sharon said that damn Dwayne's going to be on, and we got to get out of here before...
Yeah, the shirtless video shows up.
Shirtless video show?
Yeah, you.
Bounce, bounce, bounce. You know
what? I'm the nudist, but I'm wearing a shirt. Go figure.
Oh, man. So I'm happy I was able to give a little bit of good news there at the end. But yeah, like I was saying, October is a very special month this year, in the middle of a hellacious year. And obviously you can hear what some of us are going through individually, and everyone knows what the country is going through.
Fucking Eddie Van Halen died.
Yeah. Yeah. That one actually hurt a little bit, because I mean, I was never a big fan of like the band of Van Halen. I met Sammy Hagar a couple times. He was a really nice guy.
That does nothing for me.
I always enjoyed Eddie's guitar playing.
Absolutely.
But I wasn't really a fan of the band, but it still sucks when you lose an iconic guitar player like that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So I would say he was too young, but that man smoked like a carton of cigarettes a day.
A carton of cigarettes a fucking concert.
Right? So, that surprised, to be honest. But yeah, it's been a weird year, and it's been a weird year in the military as well. As we're going to go through some of these stories and tell you about it, because you know a lot of people they don't really pay attention to what happens in the military, especially when you know streets are burning down with riots and a disease is sweeping across the country, and of course there's a presidential election going on right now. So there's a lot of things to distract people from what's really going on with the military.
Flies landing on the vice president's head because he's spewing bullshit. I had to. I'm sorry.
Fly 2020. I think we need to vote for is the fly.
I have to give props to the streaming service Shudder. I don't know if you guys have Shudder. It's a horror streaming service. I think they cashed in on the fly and the best possible way. By honoring an appearance by Jeff Goldblum at the debates that they weren't expecting.
Yeah.
Nice.
Of course, you can watch The Fly streaming on Shudder.
Oh, nice little plug there.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of Shudder, and they don't give me any money for this. I just really love their service. Later this month, another awesome thing that's happening this month is that Joe Bob Briggs is coming back with The Last Drive-In. He's doing a special for Halloween, the Halloween Hootenanny. Wow. Coming up, I think, on the 27th.
Or the 28th. Now, Shudder, we do take donations.
Right. If you would like to give me money to continue shilling your product, I will certainly take it. All right, so continuing on the roller coaster of emotions, you know, we went really low down with Dwayne. I tried to bring it back up a little bit, but I'm going to take it way back down again with this first story coming out of my beloved United States Army, who has decided in all of their wisdom to end the procedure of drill sergeant shark attacks in basic training. Now, for long-time listeners of the show, you'll know that I've referenced the shark attack a few times. However, when we had Reverend Campbell on as our guest, was when I found out that didn't happen across the Army. Apparently, it's just a combat arms thing. Anywho, they've decided to get rid of it entirely. And this headline from military.com, I about lost my goddamn temper and threw my phone across the room when I first read it. No more drill sergeant shark attacks. Army moves towards kinder basic training start.
Oh, break out the panties.
It'll last about as long as distress card did or the co-ed basic did.
Yeah. Yeah, here's hoping. Yeah, that stress card thing ruined the reputation of the Army. It only lasted for 2 months at one unit in Fort Jackson. But yeah, so here's what they've decided to do. Well, actually, let me describe what the shark attack is, because the article does not do it justice at all. For combat arms jobs in the military, when you first arrive at basic training, as with most services, you are on a bus or a cattle car or something of that nature, and you pull up to your training area. And of course, people, the drill sergeants for the Army or the drill instructors for the Marine Corps or you know whatever they call them in the other branches, come running up and they tell you to get the fuck off their bus. By this point, you've gone through reception, which you should have learned some basic stuff like what the ranks look like and things like that. Position of attention, parade rest, that kind of nonsense. They scream and yell at you while you carry all of your equipment and your personal gear, arms extended like a cross and a T. You carry all of your gear in your hands, which is roughly about 200 pounds worth of stuff that you're carrying, plus whatever you brought with you. You march your way over to the drill pad, and they proceed to smoke the ever-living fuck out of you. While telling you to do, in the most chaotic manner possible, a simple task of organizing your stuff in front of you. of course, no one's ever going to get it right on the first try, so everyone has to pay the price. And while this happens, drill sergeants pick out people that they think are the weakest, that are the less likely to follow the orders, or those who are in the best view of the rest of the recruits. And they swarm on them, much like sharks feeding on food, and they start screaming at them from all different angles. And it's a very mind-fucking moment, basically. But it instills
a necessary moment.
Right. It instills a sense of intimidation from the drill sergeants, which, you know, you can, all of the psychology majors out there, I'm sure, will be going like, oh, this is such a bad thing, but fuck you. It's not.
Fuck you.
It instills a sense of intimidation, so you are both afraid of and will listen to your drill sergeant. It makes you question every reason why you've been there. If you were lucky enough, like me, you had drill sergeants who didn't pay attention to the new rules and was also smack you around a little bit if you weren't paying attention. And it teaches all the recruits around you not to fuck up, because now they have that same sense of intimidation and respect and whatnot instilled in them. So the key part to all of this, though, is that they have to introduce you into basic training like this, because going from the civilian world into the military is a culture shock. There's an entirely different way that things are done in the military, and it's the drill sergeant's job to teach you how that works. What they have not...
The right way, the wrong way, the army way.
Right. What they have not done at this point, because most of you don't know each other. Even if you're in reception, there's no guarantee that you're going to the same training unit. So they have not had a chance to teach you teamwork or, you know, one unit, one fight, that kind of mentality. None of that's happened yet. However, what the army has decided to replace this shark attack with is something that they call, I'm looking for it, the first 100 yards, which is a teamwork exercise. In which a bunch of new recruits who don't know the first fucking thing about teamwork will work together to do a variety of tasks, including those that would be found on, like, you know, the APFT and things of that nature. And then that culminates with a demonstration by the drill sergeants of basic infantry squad tactics.
Like I said, panties, anybody?
A little bit of history on the shark attack. It started during the draft, during the Vietnam draft, I believe, or the World War II draft, one of the two. Which is understandable, because you've got a bunch of people who never intended on joining the army, some of whom, even though they could pass the medical stuff, would not be capable of doing that job. And that's why they never enlisted. And they're being forced onto these pads. And so that's where it began. However, I always appreciated it because I wasn't drafted. I chose to enlist and join up. And that first chaotic, extreme moment when you're face-to-face with your drill sergeants for the first time is the first small, minuscule taste of what combat is like. Because they are telling you to do very specific things while the entire world is exploding around you. And that's where you start to learn how to maintain your cool and stay level-headed while working under extreme pressure.
Pay attention to detail, Private.
Right. Stay alert, stay alive.
You're a goddamn soup sandwich.
I don't see this first 100 yards instilling that same sense of camaraderie and level-headedness under pressure. What do you guys think?
I already said what I was going to say. Break out the panties, boys.
Yeah, as I said earlier, I can't see it lasting. It's going to last about as long as stress cards and co-ed.
Right. Well, I know too that I know we're drawing down troops in the Middle East, but at the same time, as if you listen to the show, you've heard that we're also prepping for a war against possibly another superpower. So while the global war on terrorism isn't in full swing like it was about a decade ago, it's still going on, and there's another war on the horizon, most likely, unless something drastic changes. And I hate to sound like that old guy who sits there and goes, "What have you done to my army?" But little things like this really do get under my skin. I don't think that brand new privates are going to be ready for the chaos of war at all. Jeff, I know you went through Navy boot camp. Yeah. Did you guys have something similar to the shark attack?
Once we got medically cleared, then the company commander now called something else, but would just grind us into the ground. But it was after the peanut butter shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, but after that, he's like the old saying, "Your heart better belong to Jesus because your ass belongs to me," you know. And I'm going, "Oh shit, here we go." Especially, you know, 8-count bodybuilders, you know, just after you get the damn peanut butter shot.
Right.
And it never let up until probably the last week of boot camp.
I actually went down to Great Lakes Naval Base, and I actually watched recruits come in day one, and I'm a little embarrassed to say it, but I think some of that Navy shit was worse than the Army when I went through in 89. I mean, they pulled the guys off the bus, and
to be fair, you went through Relaxin' Jackson, so.
Relaxin' Jackson ain't all relaxin', I'm sorry. But, I mean, they had the guy sitting on the floor in a line, nut to butt, fucking like they're in a boat. And, I mean, it was some shit.
And everybody talks about, oh, you know, the Navy's got... No, the Coast Guard and the Air Force have got it easier than the Navy.
I don't know. I saw a video Navy's this recently, like, of Coast Guard basic, and or Coast Guard boot camp, I should say. And I was kind of pleasantly surprised by what they put those boys through.
Oh, yeah. But we all know the Air Force, as soon as they get off the bus, they're like, ice cream's to the left.
Right.
And, you know, right. And the lounges to the right.
Right.
Well, something I could never understand about the Navy, they've got like 12 or 13 fucking general orders, and they all basically mean the same thing, you know?
No.
I could never understand. You got to memorize all 12 of these word for word. You know, we had 3 general orders in the Army, and they cover everything that those.
And I only remember one. I only remember.
I actually remember 2 of them. The last one I remember most of.
The only one I remember is, "I will guard everything within the limits of my post and quit my post only when properly
relieved."
Well, that's actually 2 different general orders. That right there.
Not in the Army.
Well, in the Navy.
No, the Navy.
In the Navy, that's 2 different general orders.
So. Weird stuff. Well, I know Dwayne didn't go through a shark attack. I did, and I think it made me a better man. Or at least a better basic training, let me put it that way. But, you know, there was a moment after, because we arrived, I went to Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And so in order to get to the training area, you had to pile into these cattle cars, and they drove you across the tracks because there's a set of railroad tracks that go down the center of the post. And on one side of the railroad tracks is the training area, and the other side is the main post itself. So once you went across the tracks is when basic training had officially begun. And we got across the tracks. I want to say it was about 3:30 in the morning, and they didn't let up on us until about 11 midnight that evening. And then that was just to sit us down after they had smoked the ever-living hell out of us, told us how to wear the uniform, showed us how to make a bed, smoked us some more, and did all that stuff. And then they sat us down to explain to us what our address was so we could send out, you know, mail and get mail back. Why they were doing
to send something out that first day.
Yeah. And yeah. Everyone had to write a letter that first day.
Yep. And make a phone call. I arrived safely. Don't plan on hearing from me for another month.
Right. And I don't know about you guys, but every single person who made the call, their family, you could hear them still going like, "Oh, how is everything, Esther?" Because you were only allowed to say, "I'm here, I'm safe, we're getting ready to train." Boom.
You know? They actually reworded the third general order, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. And it is.
Well, we know what the first one was. Jeff and I, Lou and I kind of blah, blah, blah together. Mm-hmm. The second one's I will obey my special orders and perform all my duties in a military manner.
Ah, right. Yes. Yeah.
The third one, I will report violations of my special orders, emergencies, and anything not covered in my instructions to the commander of the relief.
Gotcha.
But they reworded the last one, from what I remember.
Interesting. But yeah, I mean, so, and when they did that, they, after, you know, a whole day's worth of absolute terror and brutality. Oh, and don't forget the first shower you ever take.
Oh, yeah. 100 naked guys, and hopefully you don't drop the soap.
And you've got about a grand total. Well, we had 50 people in our platoon, and we had, I think, a grand total of 2 minutes for everyone to get in, get wet, and get out. And then you had to stand in a towel with your hands out like this. Well, nobody can see me, but your hands straight out parallel with the ground as the drill sergeants walked by and inspected to make sure you were clean enough. Of course, nobody was clean enough because nobody had taken a shower that fast ever in their life. So, so we did it again and again
everybody
and again.
Everybody used the same bar of soap. You just pass the soap down the line, get a little soap on your hands.
But when they finally sat down to explain what they were doing, I had Drill Sergeant Weaver. I'll never forget him. He was a mousy little guy, but he was one of the loudest and one of the cruelest drill sergeants there. But he took a moment. He took off his hat, which you know, is a big deal in the Army. You take off the round brown, it means they're going to talk to you like a human being for all of 2 minutes. You know, and he explained to us that he had just gotten – he literally got back from Iraq, put his feet on American soil, and went right to drill sergeant school. And then was now on the trail. And
relax in Jackson.
No, this was at Fort Sill, Oklahoma.
Drill sergeant school is at Fort Sill? No, it's at Fort Jackson.
Oh, no. I thought you were talking about basic training. I was telling you about where I was when the drill sergeant was telling
me. I'm giving you shit about your relaxing Jackson remark.
So he looks us all dead in the eye. And mind you, this was early 2004, I think, late 2003 when I was going through basic. It looked us dead in the eye. This is the initial invasion that he was a part of in Iraq. And he said, "Look, I'm going to be hard on you because every single one of you, 100% of you, are going to deploy after you leave here." And I don't think a lot of us had thought about that in that moment. But that, I mean, we had two wars going on and they were both just ramping up. And at that moment, we realized that every single one of us was going to be overseas in that war and that basic training had to be hard to prepare us for that. And anyway, like I said, this first 100-yard bullshit doesn't seem inspiring to me at all. All right. We will continue with this roller coaster of emotion right after these brief messages from our wonderful station, Radio Free Satan.
In 1966, Anton LaVey created the Church of Satan, marking the beginning of the Age of Fire and Year One Anno Satanas. In 1969, he published The Satanic Bible, codifying Satanism as a religion, the first time it's been done in human history.
In the name of Satan, ruler of the earth, king of hell, come forth from the pit, bestow the blessings of hell upon us. For we are your children, and we invoke thee this night.
In 2001, I was appointed High Priest of the Church of Satan. In 2007, I published the Satanic Scriptures, further defining and expanding on satanic philosophy and greater magic ritual.
Hail Satan, full of might! Cursed are they, the God adorers, and cursed are the worshippers of the Nazarene eunuch.
For the past 50 years, the Church of Satan has stood as the sole organization to define and defend Satanism as a religion. And though pretenders to the infernal throne have come and gone, we have stood the test of time and will into the future. Visit churchofsatan.com for more information and read the Satanic Bible and the Satanic Scriptures. Knowledge is the solution for ignorance. Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
This is Reverend Gene, the host of Vox Satane, exclusively on Radio Free Satan. Join me every week as we indulge in the classical side of music spanning the past 1,000 years. Vox Satane has already featured over 700 composers covering medieval, baroque, classical, romantic, and contemporary music, including chant, choral, opera, keyboard, and orchestral music, with composers ranging from Gluck to Gilmour, Bach to Bellavance, Talis to Taverner, and Paganini to Pärt. Get your weekly recommended dose of classical music right here on Vox Satane, only on Radio Free Satan, with me, Reverend Gene. Hail Satan!
I used to flip through one television station after another, disgusted by what was supposed to pass for comedy. Seeing all of those terrible, predictable comedians made me sad, and it made me shake in my seat. I thought it was the early signs of restless leg syndrome combined with clinical depression. So I went to see my doctor. It turned out that I just needed to listen to better comedy. That's when my doctor recommended The Devil's Mischief on Radio Free Satan.
The Devil's Mischief is a one-hour dosage of comedy and novelty that's made for you, not for the masses. After a decade of biased research, The Devil's Mischief has been clinically proven to be effective at inducing laughter and whimsical feelings in many listeners.
I can finally laugh again.
You don't need a prescription to listen to The Devil's Mischief. You don't even need to visit a pharmacy. That's because The Devil's Mischief is not a pill. It's not a syrup. It's not a spray, a cream, or even a suppository. It's a podcast.
All I need is a connection to the internet.
To learn all you need to know to listen to The Devil's Mischief, visit the official website, devilsmischief.com.
Whether you like to listen to podcasts in your web browser, download an episode directly, or subscribe to podcasts with iTunes, The Devil's Mischief can help.
Side effects may include side splitting, gut busting, knee slaps, and slapstick. Some listeners have reported being in stitches, with gags, or finding it to be a riot. Do not listen to The Devil's Mischief while drinking a beverage. Ask your doctor if The Devil's Mischief is right for you.
Or don't. Why should you have to pay that stupid copay for a doctor's visit?
Listen to The Devil's Mischief on RadioFreeSatan.com.
Come with me, Warlock Jeff Ivins, for a time trip back to the 1980s on the Metro. I play synth pop and other hits from the decades of indulgence, only on RadioFreeSatan.com.
Attention iTunes users, if you like this show and other programs from Radio Free Satan, then please take a moment to look us up on iTunes to rate and comment on the program. You can also do the same on Stitcher.com. Look up this program on Stitcher.com, rate it, and give us a review. And that's if you like the show, of course, you know, that you want to give it 5 stars and a good review, not, you know, give it 1 star and say a bunch of mean things. But hey, if you want to do that, then I'm sure there are a bunch of Christian podcasts on iTunes that you could do that on. Anyway, thank you for your support of RadioFreeSatan.com. And now back to the program.
Welcome back to the official Infernal Legion podcast, the Sinister Scuttlebutt episode for the month of October 2020. Be sure to check out all those awesome shows right here on Radio Free Satan. We're going to jump into the next article, which is another one that's going to get my goddamn blood pressure up. Pentagon unveils new religious liberty policies after pressure from conservative lawmakers. I think you can all see where this is going.
That's bullshit.
Apparently a bunch of Republican lawmakers and conservative right-wing lawmakers pushed through an order to the Pentagon to, quote, prioritize protecting the rights and freedoms of service members in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. No idea what these two things have to do with each other. Basically, to sum up the law, it's a revised regulation on DOD Instruction 1300.17, Religious Liberty in the Military Services, and it basically allows soldiers to express their religious viewpoints while in uniform, while on duty. Ordinarily, the rank and file is really doesn't affect in the sense that, like, we did it anyway, or we didn't. You know, exactly. if you wanted to be private, you were private. If you didn't want to be private, you would talk about it. And nobody gave a shit if you were talking about what you believed in or what God you worshipped or anything like that. However, where this gets touchy is this now applies to officers and commanders.
Who can now proselytize to their subordinates.
That's basically exactly what it allows them to do, is to slip religious messaging into official communique. So whether they're standing in front of the formation or the memo posted on the thing, they can say things like, make sure that you're safe at church this weekend and things like that. That, I mean, personally, I wouldn't get offended by standing in formation.
There are no atheists in this company.
But because I don't care, I'm going to do my own thing and I don't care what anybody else believes, you know. But not everyone is that way. And especially a bunch of young, impressionable 17, 18, 19-year-olds who are basically having to swear by God and country in this moment can easily be swayed to be converted for the sake of their career, which is completely unprofessional and completely opposite the First Amendment of the Constitution.
Well, what do you expect from conservative members of Congress? Notice I didn't say party. I just said conservatives, social conservatives.
Yeah, it is beyond a little ridiculous, quite honestly.
Yeah.
All right. So the policy claims that an expression of these, quote, sincerely held beliefs will not be used as the basis of any adverse personnel action, discrimination, or denial of promotion, schooling, training, or assignment. Bullshit.
Don't you believe it?
The way this is going to happen is that the commanders are going to start spewing their shit, and they're going to start talking about their evangelical Christianity, or really that's what it is, because the Jewish commanders don't give a fuck. You can't convert to their religion anyway.
they're going to be walking around in BDUs with their little black name tag on their on their pocket.
They're going to start doing that shit. Someone is going to, some dumb young private is going to raise a stink, and he's going to remain a dumb young private for 8, 10, 12 years because he opposed the religious beliefs of the commander. That will happen. That has happened even under the original regulation that this one modifies. Now it just makes it fucking legal, basically.
I'm usually the joker here, but I'm going to get technical on you. Actually, if you don't make E5 in 8 years, if you're still a Spec 4 after 8 years, they kick your ass out or they make you get out.
Yep. But that doesn't matter if you've been promoted to E5 and then demoted. back down to private.
Well, if you've been demoted to private from E5, you've done something really fucked up and you need to be kicked out anyway.
Possibly. Possibly, or your evangelical Christian commander just has a hair up his ass because you're wearing
exactly.
Or, you know, and I'm not one because I fucking, I'll say it right here for everyone to hear, I despise Islam. I despise the religion. I despise everything it stands for. I despise the philosophy of it. And I despise most of its practitioners. But God help the young private. See what I did there? Who comes in with a rising star or a crescent moon on his necklace after this has passed. Ridiculous. And the funny thing is that even though the article calls out the Republican Party and says that it was pressure from conservative lawmakers, I think the most interesting part of this is that the bill, the RFRA, was actually introduced by Chuck Schumer.
No shit.
So in case anyone was wondering, and I'm sure the Republicans were fighting hard for it because conservative Christians make up the bulk of the Republican Party, the Democrats are in on this one too.
Yeah. That's why I didn't say political party. I just said conservatives.
Right. But the article called out Republicans.
Yeah.
So the updated guidance has received backlash from groups such as the Military Religious Freedom Foundation and, of course, the ACLU. It is backed by groups like First Liberty, which is a conservative legal firm. And it is lauded by its supporters for promoting free speech and religious liberty.
Free speech is bullshit because it's basically you're talking about proselytizing, and we know that this, like the COS, we don't believe in proselytizing.
Right.
So, right. But
and the military doesn't have a place. The number one thing about the military is that you should never ostracize anyone in your unit because your life might depend on them someday.
Exactly.
So everyone in your unit should be on mostly the same page. And the easiest way to do that when it comes to something that's fervently held for so many people, like religion, is to not fucking talk about it.
Yep.
Simple as that. We all know when we raise our right hand and we swear our oath and we sign our name on the dotted line that we're going to lose certain freedoms that civilians enjoy. It's just the nature of the beast. It's what has to happen. And one of those freedoms is that you don't get to talk about your religion and try to convert people while you're in fucking uniform. And it is ridiculous. And of course, some of its biggest backers are people like Lieutenant Colonel David McGraw, who is a Air Force chaplain. The Air Force chaplaincy has a long history of doing and saying stupid religious things. For those of you who are wondering what the hell I'm talking about, they were the ones who first coined the phrase, there's no atheists in foxholes, like the Air Force would know what the fuck a foxhole was.
No shit.
Oh, man. It's just, I'm telling you, my blood's going to start boiling. And
welcome to hell.
Hell. The first case of this regulation, which actually went into effect about 2 or 3 months ago, happened over in Camp Humphreys in South Korea, where Colonel Moon Kim, who, despite his name, is an American commander, shared out an online booklet with all of his subordinates via military email, the Army Knowledge Online portal. For those of you who served and are familiar with that, the book claimed that some people would contract COVID-19 as, quote, a specific judgment from God due to sinful behavior. That's what the military looks like. No shark attacks and religious pamphlets coming in your military email.
What is happening to our proud services?
And mind you, keep in mind, the reason the Infernal Legion exists is to celebrate and to support the satanic veterans that are out there. And there are numerous satanic veterans out there. The doctor himself, Anton Xander LaVey, even performed a funeral on the second or the year after the Church of Satan was founded for a Navy sailor who had died.
Yep. His wife requested it.
One of the first alternative religions besides Wicca that was included in the chaplain's handbook was the Church of Satan. So it's not like this is news. There's a history of other religions besides Christianity in the military. And yet, here we are.
Yep.
I'm waiting for the annual, semi-annual counseling statements to come out with a little block of or a little block on it about religion.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see that. You
not
know,
a block
like,
of instruction, but a block on it counseling you because you're not a Mormon.
We cannot recommend promotion above peers because you don't attend religious services.
Exactly. Right.
Oh, ridiculous. So certainly this is an issue that the Infernal Legion takes very seriously, and we will certainly keep you updated as more of that comes to light. I'm sure it will be challenged. I don't know if it'll be overturned, quite honestly.
Probably not. It'd have to be a law that would have to be passed to overturn it. Because the court system's not going to allow it. Not going to allow it to be overturned. Not with the way it's been packed.
And, you know, the Congress, as it sits right now, is I think it has the highest percentage of veterans that it's ever had in its history. Which should be a good thing, except they're still vastly outnumbered by people who have never fucking served.
Mm-hmm.
And are making up laws for the military as if they know what's best for it. And I'm sure that's where that fucking shark attack law came from, too, or that regulation. All right, let's turn our attention to everyone's favorite Department of Veterans Affairs for a moment.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Like I said during the break, fellas, there is no good news this month.
No, there isn't.
The headline of this one from military.com is VA didn't tell South Carolina veteran about HIV diagnosis for 20 years, a lawsuit says. A South Carolina veteran is suing the Department of Veterans Affairs after he says VA doctors failed to inform him for more than 20 years that he was HIV positive. Before I even get more into this article, you think that that's the first thing that comes out of a doctor's mouth. I mean, am I wrong?
No.
Lawsuit filed in...
I was about to say, at least the guy lost a lot of weight.
Right. In a lawsuit filed in federal court on Tuesday, the Navy veteran living in Richland County claims medical staff at the William Jennings Bryan Dorn VA Center in Columbia, South Carolina, failed to inform him an HIV test he took in 1995 came back positive, allowing the disease to progress untreated for decades. Obviously, the sailor who is – or the former sailor who's suing, his name is being withheld. As it should be. But he sought treatment from the VA after a shipwreck in 1976 left him with mental and physical injuries. Apparently, the VA is his only form of medical care. He doesn't have any outside medical insurance, so he wasn't able to go to any other doctor, like you alluded to there, Ivans, when he started losing weight and looking like a goddamn skeleton.
Yep.
Quote, the VA had actual knowledge beginning in November 1995 that Mr. Doe was HIV positive, and the standard of care required he be informed of the positive test and proper treatment began in 1995. Obviously, that did not happen. He didn't find out till 20 years later. And the way that he found out is maybe even more infuriating than the fact that they never told him in the first place was a doctor at the VA said to him, I looked at the patient, or said in a deposition, I looked at the patient and asked him, who was his infectious disease doctor. The patient states he did not have one, and I asked him if he knew his HIV test was positive. And he said he didn't remember taking an HIV test. Because it had been 20 fucking years ago.
I am not going to bat for the VA, pardon me, for the VA right now, so please don't take this as that. But I can see the VA coming out with some bullshit about this not being service connected. They didn't have to cover it, therefore they weren't doing anything with it.
Yeah, okay, that actually makes a lot of sense in a very unfortunate way.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the military anymore. He didn't have a chain of command that they had to inform. So it's not a service-connected injury or a thing for them to take care of. And I can see them claiming that he already knew about it or should have and carry on.
And this is one reason why. This is
the bullshit that they do.
This is and our vice commander is going through some shit with the VA right now. Obviously, we'll have him on at some point to tell you about it if he wants to. But he's going through some shit with them right now about it as well. Not an HIV test. nothing like that. But some bullshit with VA medical, nonetheless. But this is why I warn people. And we talked about this, I think it was maybe 2 or 3 months ago. We talked about how the latest statistics come out showed a 96% approval rating amongst veterans for the Department of Veterans Affairs. There are lies, damn lies, and statistics. just throwing that out there. You can quote all day long, and I'm sure there's a survey somewhere that says that 96% of veterans approve of the VA. I don't want to dig into it. I haven't really looked at it. I don't know what the sample size was or anything like that. But when shit like this happens, the 96% don't matter. It's the 4% who are getting fucked for life by the VA. Oh, my God.
It just depends. I know I ain't going to say it. Forget it. It depends on if you took the Fox News survey or you took the CNN survey.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, that's true. That's true.
That was a tactful way of saying
they should,
it.
They should add to that famous quote. I can't remember who said that. I think it might have been Mencken. I'm not really sure. But there are lies, damn lies, statistics, and mainstream media. Oh. So, yeah, that's the old good old Department of Veterans Affairs, still untrustworthy as day fucking one. on a positive note on that, I actually just got a small little back pay. So a good VA story, I think, to wrap that up. Apparently, they had fucked up my address several months ago and sent a paper check somewhere else. Why they sent a paper check when everything I have is direct deposit is beyond me. And why the address was none that I have ever had listed, meaning I had never fucking lived there, is also beyond me. But I found out about it basically by accident, dealing with the VA for something else entirely, and was able to process the thing. And within 3 days, a new paper check, again, not sure why it's a paper check, but a new one just arrived in my mailbox. So at least their financial department is getting shit right.
Yeah.
All right. Now, as we like to do here on the Sinister Scuttlebutt, and I said this when we were talking about the Army shark attacks, it's something I'll say every single time we do one of these. There is still a war going on in the Middle East. We still have thousands upon thousands of troops deployed over there. Many of them are facing combat situations every fucking day, and nobody outside of the military channels are talking about it. So, as I promised a few months ago, we will continue to give updates as to what is happening in the global war on terror. Usually, I like to stick to Afghanistan because that's where things are really hot. But it looks like this month, we're going to go right back over to Dwayne and I's favorite place, Iraq, where 6 missiles were intercepted targeting an airport that houses American troops in Iraq.
not mortars, not rockets, missiles.
Missiles, right. And we're going to get into rockets and mortars here in a minute, but let's talk about this for a minute. At least six missiles targeting Erbil International Airport in northern Iraq, which, by the way, was where I spent my last deployment. Shout out to the Kurds. They are awesome people. Love their food. were intercepted Wednesday evening, a statement from the Kurdish Interior Ministry said, as diplomatic tensions between Washington and Baghdad mounted over a spate of rocket attacks targeting the U.S. presence. So, what we've been dealing with for the last, I'd say, a year now, roughly, is that rocket attacks on both the Green Zone and on the Baghdad airport. I forget its name there, but there's a lot of – thank you. There's a lot of troops stationed still. Most of the troops that are still stationed in Iraq are in those two locations. For about a year now, the increase in rocket and mortar attacks has been going through the roof on these locations. Not a lot of casualties, so that's a good thing. But it means that someone is trying to ramp up the war again. This just elevated it because, as Dwayne pointed out at the beginning of the story, these weren't rockets or mortars. These were missiles, which is a totally different form of munition, much more powerful, much more likely to cause some of those aforementioned casualties. And Dwayne, you and I talked about this on Facebook Messenger when we were prepping for this show. I think we both know who's behind this. So just to kind of put the nail in that coffin, according to the statement, the missiles were intercepted at 8:30 p.m. and did not cause any major damage. Two Kurdish officials said that one of the rockets, one of the missiles, that was a misprint, hit the headquarters of an Iranian Kurdish opposition party banned in Iran.
I wonder why.
Statement said the missiles were fired from a pickup truck near Bartella, south of Erbil in the Nineveh province, which are areas under the purview of Brigade 30 of the Popular Mobilization Forces. The brigade is composed of ethnic Shabak militiamen. Intelligence officials are saying there's been a rise in Shiite violence on Sunni violence in the Baghdad area as well. Gentlemen, I think we might be pushing ourselves towards another ramp up in Iraq.
Do you think the caliphate decided just because their leader died that we're done? They had to disperse and go somewhere. They just mixed in with the population. I mean, do you really think they went somewhere? Where? You know, they're there.
Well, 30,000 of them are dead.
What I'm wondering is, if you've ever been to Iraq, any of you troops, you know what their pickup trucks look like. How the fuck did they fire a missile from the back of one of those little white with the little red stripe down the side pickup trucks?
Right, yeah. I mean, they fire mortars and rockets from them all the time. But, yeah, how did they fire a missile from it?
I mean, it's totally unrelated, me trying to be funny. But I'm just thinking about that.
That is quite an interesting.
You know what those look like. How the fuck did they fire a missile?
Very strange. I'll have to keep an eye on what's happening in Iraq and see where this leads, because I could easily see after the election, of course, because no one's going to do it before the election.
Oh, no.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
After the election, I could certainly see another 10,000 to 20,000 troops being sent to Iraq.
I could see that, but I could also see countries taking advantage of 45's COVID infection, and this is going to become totally unrelated and maybe a story we don't want to or didn't intend on getting into, but I can see his COVID infection turning into something that other countries may take advantage of.
That's certainly, yeah. It's certainly, when any world leader gets ill, other countries are going to start putting pressure on them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I could certainly see that being a problem here in the next couple of months. See how that goes. Although, you know, the commander in chief is out of the hospital already, so we'll see. Who knows? It's a very strange situation, but what that story should bring to everybody's mind is, like I've said for several months now, the wars aren't over yet. We're still fighting. Many of our friends and brothers and sisters are over there right now. And as much as I do love my October, many of them are spending it in the desert, just like I did so many years ago. So,
well, I just want to throw something else in there as well. Most of our listening audience knows how Mr. Ivins and myself generally have a dislike for
45.
Our commander in chief. I'm going to say this right now, and I'm sure Jeff will also agree. We don't wish anything bad upon him with his illness or his wife or any of his aides, and we wish him a speedy recovery. Yep. We may not agree with his politics, but we don't wish any ill fate upon him. And we, like I said, we wish all of them a speedy recovery.
Yes, wholeheartedly. Mainly so he can get that orange spray tan he's got will match his clothing after he gets voted out of office.
I try to corral these guys. I do. Listen, don't, I try to corral them.
You cannot corral somebody who's actually producing this damn thing.
Yeah, it's it will be very interesting. And, well, hell, unless, you know, something goes wrong with the massive amounts of mail-in votes that are going to be coming in this year, and I'm sure there'll be all kinds of controversy about it. But unless something goes horribly wrong, by the next time we have a Sinister Scuttlebutt, we'll find out who the new commander-in-chief is. If it's right. The same as the older.
Here's my biggest fear, Lou, and I'll tell you. You know, our commander-in-chief falls ill. I mean, this is only going to be his second week. I mean, we know he's unhealthy and stuff. We see that our vice president falls ill as well. Do you know what happens if that happens? I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I go with who makes the most sense. But
Speaker of the House.
But Satan fucking forbid. I don't want to see Nancy Pelosi take over as fucking president till January.
Well, I will say this. I always say, and I've said this, that we had the misfortune.
The bird.
Is that your bird?
Yeah, it's his bird.
We had the misfortune of starting this podcast during what is a controversial presidency. It is what it is. But like I've always said, we will respect the commander-in-chief no matter who holds that office on here because of who and what we are and what we do as an organization. That said, I never said fuck all about respecting the Speaker of the House. I will tell you this right now, and anyone who disbelieves me out there, it's okay to tune me out if you want to, but you can go back and look at old Nancy Pelosi's voting record. I guarantee goddamn to you, if she takes over somehow, some way between now and January, we will see Afghanistan and Iraq flooded with American troops.
And Syria.
And Syria. And Yemen. And Libya.
Yemen. Libya. Well, I don't know about Libya. Iran.
It's... Talk about a war hawk. That's all I'll say about that. All right, gentlemen. Anything else for the sinister scuttlebutt going around the military?
Not for me.
I think we've had a hell of a show. A lot of information.
Yeah. I would tell people where to contact if they want to get involved in the lawsuit about the new religious stuff. But none of that information seems to be available. So if you really want to help out with that, wonder why.
Yeah.
make sure you contact the ACLU and see what they're doing about it. But until next time, when we will be back with the Wicked Warrior of the Month for October 2020, this has been the official Infernal Legion podcast right here on Radio Free Satan. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Veteran Suicide Hotline. Phone number is 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-TALK. And as soon as you dial that, you press number 1. Also, you can text to 838-255 for more information. But it is just as effective as chat. Support is free, confidential, and available 24/7. It is available to all servicemen and women, active and inactive, guard or reserve, and available to veterans, family members as well.